So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Great Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see now.
Father, we thank you. It's been a week now. Your presence has been with us. You have spoken to us. You have taught us. We have prayed. You have poured your spirit on us. You have anointed us. You have done deliverance. You have broken grounds with our lives. And we are ready for the go. We pray that once again, you arrest us and help us to keep what we have for the period we shall be away from one another. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to speak about tests, trials, and challenges of faith. Tests, trials, and challenges of faith. For many of us, we don't like examinations. Even if you have an interview before a job, you can stay the whole night without sleeping. And we feel uncomfortable when we are being tested and tried. But the God we serve is a tester. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. God himself tests.
Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve.
The resurrected Lord Jesus is a tester and a searcher of hearts. Revelations chapter 2 verse 23.
Revelation chapter 2 verse 23. I will strike your children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds. And I'll repay each of you according to your deeds.
Satan is a tempter. That's his name. Matthew chapter 4 verse 2.
Verse 2 and 3. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.
The Christian name of Satan is the tempter. The tempter. Now, the difference between God's tests and trials and Satan's temptation is that Satan tempts our weaknesses, but God tests our strengths. Sometimes we are shocked that God allows us to be tempted by Satan, because we feel it's not fair. Because Satan is not nice. And he hits below the belt. But this morning, I want to advance 10 reasons why nobody can dodge temptation and trial. Nobody can dodge temptation and trial. The very first reason why our faith is tested and tried is because many times we do not know ourselves. It is the temptations and trials and challenges of life that expose you to yourself. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, Jesus told Peter that, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brothers.
Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
What did Peter say? Peter told Jesus, you don't know me. You see, I'm Peter. I am the tough man's tough man. All these people can deny you, but not me. I will die with you. I'm not like other human beings. I'm Peter. So, when before the cock will crow, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. He went and wept. There are many times we don't know ourselves. And there are many things within us which only surface when you are tested, you are tempted, you are tried, you are fried and baked and roasted. It is then that what is in you comes out. Now, this is critical because it is only when you know yourself that you can even take precaution. A lot of girls who attend girls' school and live in Bangalore, when they get to the university and meet girls, they are crazy. And meet boys, they become crazy. Because they were only virgins because they were hiding in a girls' school. When you come and boys talk to you twice and write love letters, it's then that your feet begin to wobble under you. And for the first time, you see that you are a virgin by accident. It's the same reason why some people who say they are not thieves, when they become politicians, they start stealing. Because you didn't know you were a thief. Because there was no money around. You see? And when you are exposed to a lot of money with no accounts, for the first time, you know that you are a thief because your heart begins to go after the money. And then you see that you start amassing wealth. Many of us do not know ourselves. It is testing, trial, and tempting that exposes you to yourself. And then you know for the first time that, if they say I'm not faithful, they are telling the truth because I am not faithful.
Are you with me? So, that is the first reason why you need trials. You need temptation. You need a shaking. You need the challenges. Because they help you to know yourself and be quiet for the first time. Number two, our faith is tried because God also wants to know what is in your heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, let's read verse 2 to 4.
Deuteronomy chapter 8, 2 to 4. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart.
He humbled you, he tested you in order to know what is in your heart.
Whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
God's testing, trial, and, you know, passing you through challenging things for 40 years in the wilderness was so that he will know what is in your heart. Verse 16 says, so that in the end, he will do you good.
Verse 16. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end, it might go well with you.
Whereas the first point is knowing yourself, exposing yourself to yourself. This second point is that God cannot just get up and trust you. God cannot just get up and reward you. God cannot just get up and promote you. He must pass you through difficulties, trials, challenges, problems, testings, in order that in the end, he will do you good. Can you understand where God is coming from? God cannot just look at your face and start promoting you. Everybody will shout, it's not fair. But when there is a crisis and he passes all of you through. Interestingly, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24-27, Jesus said that anybody who comes to church falls into one of two categories. Those who hear, they don't do, and those who hear and keep what he says. He says that it's like a wise man and a foolish man building. The foolish man builds on sand, and when the rains come down and the floods come up and the winds beat against the house, it falls. But the wise man takes the words of Jesus and builds his life on that. And the rains come down and the floods come up and the storm bash the building. But because it's built on a rock, it stands firm. We won't read it because you know it. But the thing I want to point out to you is that Christians and non-Christians, good Christians as well as bad Christians, are all being tested. Many times when bad things happen to good people, they say, why me? Why me? I've been paying my tithes, I've been doing this, Look, nobody is spared. Absolutely nobody is spared. Everybody goes through the rains, the flood, and the bashing of the winds. Everybody. Both the man who has built on the rock and the man who has built on the sand. All go through it. Why? It is when the trials and temptations come that they expose the foundation upon which you have been built. Then God can promote you. Now, if you are not convinced about this point, I want to tell you that 1 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 11 all the way to 15, says that your works will be tested by fire. And after the testing, you will be rewarded. Even when we get to heaven, nobody is going to just walk with your briefcase or your lady's bag and just walk into heaven. Nobody. Nobody is going like that. Everybody's work will be tested as by fire.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 to 15. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire.
It will be real. Yes.
And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames.
So, if you are going to go through the flame, why not go through now? You will be passing through the flame anyway. Nobody is dodging it. Nobody is so much a child of God that for you, they won't test you again. There is nothing like that. There is nothing like that. Everybody, your works will be tested by fire. So if the things come now, they tell you where you should put your energy before the trouble time comes. But the third reason why tests, trials, and temptations come is because Satan must understand your motive for worshiping God. We have an enemy. He is called Satan. He is the tempter. So, he went to God in Job chapter 1 from verse 8. And when God asked him, where are you from? He said, oh, I've been moving to and fro across the earth. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him. Excellent, excellent. Fears God, eschews evil and sin. Then Satan said, ha, 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 ha. Do you think Job fears God for nothing? He is serving you only for money, prosperity. I know him. Then God said, he said, if you like, stretch your hand, touch his property, and see whether he won't talk. He will curse you. Then God said, he is in your hands. And then Satan went for the first round. One day, Job lost 10 children, all his cattle, all his oxen, all his sheep and goats. He lost everything in one day. A few hours. And then he tore his clothes, fell on the ground, and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 21. And what the Bible says is, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Then Satan went again. And God said, ha ha, Have you considered my son, Job? You move me against him for nothing. But you yourself know the result. Say. And Satan said, oh, skin for skin. A man will give anything if his flesh is touched. And God said, well, he is in your hands. Just don't kill him. Then Satan went and smote Job with boils. And the wife said, are you still holding your integrity? Curse God and die. Job said, you speak as one of those foolish women. We have received good from the hands of the Lord. Should we not receive evil? And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. You see, the main reason the story of Job is critical is that, why are you worshiping God? Satan wants to know. Only temptations and trials can expose you. So, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they were saying, oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah, then God allowed Satan to come. One temptation, boom, they were on the floor with their legs in the air. And Satan said, this is the creation God. You said it was very good. Look at your champions. They are on the floor now. What is your real reason for worshiping God? Satan wants to know. This is why he is at everybody's faith from beginning to end. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. He says, your adversary, the devil, is going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. Because Satan wants to know. No, it's okay. Let's go to the reason number 4. The 4th reason why tests, trials, temptations are critical in the life of every Christian is that it is only through these tests that you build character. You build perseverance. You build tenacity. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5, and James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, the Bible says the same thing. It says, count it all joy when you meet various trials, difficulties, problems, temptations. Count it all joy. Because the trying of your faith is what produces character and brings perseverance, patient endurance into your life. Yes.
James
1, 2 to 4.
Chapter 1, 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
You know, human character is such that if human character is such that if it is not passed through tests, trials, difficulties, challenges, we do not build character. When I was young, we always feared the athletes from Southern Volta region. Because they run in the sand. So when they come to Central Volta region, which is hard ground, they fly. In the same way, a person who has gone through trials, difficulties, temptations, develops a certain muscle which makes it such that when you are facing him, you yourself know you have met somebody. There are a lot of Christians who are pampered children. So when there's a small difficulty, oh, for me, I got this pregnancy. God, how can you be punishing me like that? For me, I said I won't even go to church. Because, you know, if there is a good God, why does... You talk that way because you are a pampered child. You see, you haven't experienced the tough things of life. Therefore, when there's a small problem, you're complaining. When I went to Mauritania, the trotters over there and the taxis, they humbled me forever. In fact, I remember one time we were five at the front. The driver plus four of us in a taxi. And my waist, look, I was praying. I was beseeching the Lord. I was in tongues because I was closest to the door. And, oh Lord, Jesus. But heaven heard my prayer. After some time, the car stopped and the person was sitting behind. One of us, I've forgotten the details, decided to change place. And I quickly got to his place and I briefed. From that time, when I come to Ghana and they are complaining that, these Toto drivers, they take too many passengers, I only smile. You see, I smile because what I have gone through has made me that what I am seeing now is small. It's not a challenge. Do you understand? If your Christian life is just being pampered. From the time you are born again, first 10 years, you haven't met any problem, everything has been supplied on time, everything. You see that when a small thing happens to you, when I mentioned to you that I failed my exams when I was in the university, and I was in the chapel praying, then one of my friends came and Guriba Hapaka Chakya, oh father. So when he finished praying, he came, he said, JFK, do you know? They gave me third class. You know, third class, there is second class lower, second class upper, and first class. And he got third class. He said, they gave me, meanwhile, I was speaking in tongues even when I went for the interview and, JFK. Then I said, I have failed altogether. You failed? Then we nicknamed each other Crocodile Skin. Now, the reason I remember this is that he got third class during the holidays. He went to his father, his farm for a father's friend. And when he cut the first tree, the cutlass was so sharp, it cut the whole tree. The tree lifted up and came and stamped his leg. And the bones were broken. So he came and said, oh, JFK, look, not only did I get third class, look at what God has done. Look at what God has done. Then he left his kente cloth on the table. And he was ironing when there was lights out. So he left the iron, went to the bathroom, and the lights came on, and his kente cloth was bent. He said, JFK, I don't understand what God is doing. Look, my kente is bent. Look, look.
This is not laughing matter.
Yes. Then he went on national service. We had our Easter convention.
Yes.
He was bringing students from the school to the convention. They had an accident. Prosper died on the spot. The witnesses said he struggled to his feet and said, Father! He clasped his hands and died. God knew he didn't need any first class. He was going to die without ever working with the degree. But he allowed Satan to bash him, shake him, shift him to see what was in him. He was going to die. He didn't need the KT club. He didn't need the first class. He didn't need anything again. But heaven wanted to shake him and release him for Satan to push him. Prosper died. We went to bury him. And I learned sense. I told myself never to talk nonsense to heaven. Many of us haven't gone through anything. Prosperity sermons only work when you have nothing. You can't sell them in a country where they are killing Christians. They won't buy it. Many of us are pampered. But that brings me to number 5. The Bible says that every son God receives, he disciplines. And the reason he disciplines us is because he wants us to be sharers in his holiness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good.
God disciplines us for our good.
That we may share in his holiness.
That we may share in his holiness. So every child God receives, he whips you. He whips you. He whips you. But he is doing it because he wants you to share in his holiness. Our hearts are such that if God doesn't pass you through difficult things, you will never learn sense. Psalm 66, verse 10 to 12.
Psalm 66, 10 to 12. For you, O God, tested us.
You, O God, tested us.
You refined us like silver.
You refined us like silver.
You brought us into prison.
You brought us into prison.
And laid burdens on our backs.
And laid burdens on our back.
You let men ride over our heads.
You've let men ride over our heads.
We went through fire and water.
We went through fire and we went through water.
But you brought us to a place of abundance.
But you brought us to a place of abundance. If Joseph had known that he would become prime minister in Egypt, and that was the only way his brothers would come and bow to him, when they put him in the well, he would have said, thank you, my brothers, thank you. As they sold him to those Ishmaelites to take as a slave to Egypt, he would have said, oh, thank you, brothers, thank you. But he could not see where God was taking him. He couldn't see it. He couldn't see it. Things which happened to us in life, you tested us. You see, you humbled us. You allowed people to ride over our backs. Then you purged us. You refined us like silver and like gold. Oh God, what are you doing? But he knows exactly what he is doing. Afterwards, he brings you to a place of abundance. He passes us through these things because he himself knows that if he does not pass you through these steps, you will be a bastard. You will be half-baked. You will not understand the language of the kingdom. He does it so that we can be partakers of his holiness. We can share in his holiness. Peter is very clear. He said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 that even gold and silver is refined in the fire. So your faith, which is more precious than gold, has to be dealt with.
And this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold.
He says your faith is of greater worth than what? Gold. Your faith is of greater worth than gold. Yes?
Which perishes even though refined by fire.
Gold is refined by fire. Gold melts at 1000 degrees centigrade. And because the melting point of gold is so high, every other metal that is hiding inside gold or at the side of gold, when you put gold into the smelter and the fire is on, as the temperature rises, all those metals which cannot endure, they all melt. Lead, tin, copper, all those, they all just leave gold alone until by the time you get to 1000 degrees, gold is refined. But gold is perishable and your faith is more precious than gold.
These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed.
I want to beg you. Your faith is more precious than gold. You need to understand that gold must be refined before it is precious, before it is of worth. Your faith will also be purged. It will be refined. And when that process is going on, that gives you the greatest transformation in life. You change because your priorities change. Do you understand? The things which are important to you change. Because after going through difficult times, you learn to value what things are important and what things are not important. So Malachi chapter 3 verse 3, I don't know whether we'll be able to read it. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 9, gold is refined. When we are, God will not,
Malachi
take, will
3,
not
3.
Take you to heaven like that. He is a refiner. So he's going to refine you. He will refine you in the refiner's fire.
Malachi 3:3. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. Now, Zechariah 12:9. Oh, that day I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem. Oh, on that day, I beg your pardon, on that day, yes, and I'll pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication.
No, this is not the verse I want. What about 13:9? Yes, this is what I want.
Zechariah.
Please change
chapter
it.
Chapter 13, verse 9. This third I'll bring into the fire. I'll refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I'll answer them. I'll say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God.
I met a Uganda lady and she said, when Idi Amin arrested their bishop and killed him, the whole Uganda, you could hear every Christian praying like bees. Because they saw that for the first time, their Christian life was threatened. And revival came to Uganda because what they passed through under Idi Amin taught them sense. I went to New Zealand, and when I finished preaching, a lady came and said, oh, please, you are from Africa. I said, yes. He said, my husband and I were missionaries in Uganda, and Idi Amin killed my husband. And I came back with the children. And the two of us wept. Because, you see, it is somebody who has gone through a challenging time, a purging, refining time. When the person is talking, you see a difference. This is why Jesus told Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. A person who has gone through miscarriage can comfort somebody who has gone through miscarriage. You know, when I was in Hohe, we lost our first daughter. She was 6 years old when she had leukemia. And I said, oh, my daughter, sick. In the night, prayer, Jesus. I prayed. I said, if it's prayer which can save my daughter, then she can never die. I was the Volta regional pastor. Prayer? What? I prayed. The church prayed. We fasted. My wife was with the child at Kolebu. Then I got the news that the child died. What? My child died? I was working for God with my whole heart, my soul, my life, my education, everything I had in life, I was using to work for God. My child is sick, God, and he died. And I went and I met my wife, and our head pastor was afraid to preach that day. And he said, it's your child who has died, but you preach. So I took the mic. One day when I'm happy, I'll tell you the sermon I preached. Then they buried that girl. And we went back home. And I told my wife, we are going to an evangelistic campaign at Anyinawase. I took her along. Then she was interpreting. I was saying, Jesus is a healer. And my wife said, they know your daughter has just died. Why are you saying? I said, let God be true and every man a liar. Not too long ago, one of our pastors, his firstborn finished the university and was doing national service and died. And the wife said that, please, I want to see Pastor Mensah and the wife. I want to see Pastor. If I don't see them, nobody can comfort me. And she came. And I downloaded the story. My wife, how we went through it. And she briefed and went back healed. You can only minister to people after you have been tested and you have won. You see, the power to build people up, edify people, is such that if you have not gone through the thing, you don't have the moral right to tell somebody that, hey, this is how it is. We don't like trials, but a woman who has been raped, when she is strengthened and comes back to the Lord, she can minister to other women who have been raped. She can talk to them and they will be healed. They will be edified because of what she has gone through. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 3 to 5 says that we comfort people with the comfort we have also received when we were in trouble. You cannot comfort people when you have never been comforted.
2 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse
3.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble.
He comforts us so that we can comfort. You see, if you have smoked before, you have used Indian hemp, and you are born again, you can talk to people smoking and talk to those with Indian hemp. And your testimony carries weight because you have been there and you are out. The things God passes us through are not nice, but they are the platform for ministry. My sister, one of my sisters, was a Catholic nun for 37 and a half years, and she became born again. Now, when she shares her testimony with any Catholic nun, the person shakes. Why? She has been there. And now she's out. We don't want to be tested. We don't want to be tempted. We don't want trials and challenges in life. But you want leadership in the church of God. How can you get it? But that brings me to my last point. The quality and quantity of your faith. The quality and the quantity of your faith. Jesus is an examiner of faith. Mark chapter 2 verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith. Matthew chapter 8 verse 10. Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith in all Israel. Jesus sees little faith, great faith, no faith, strong faith. And so he is able to, he sees unbelief. He told Thomas in John chapter 20. He said, look. Now you see me, you believe. Blessed rather are those who don't see, but they believe. Because Thomas fell at his feet, my Lord and my God. Hey, look. You better believe before you see. Anytime you come to Jesus, he looks at your faith. He sees faith. At least, let's read the verse 28. and 29. We are in John. Okay.
20.
Yes, John 20.
8 and 9. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Thomas walked with Jesus 3.5 years. And yet, when the other apostles told him that Jesus is risen from the dead and we have seen him, he said, "I won't believe." Apostle. Apostle. His apostolic unbelief. You see, many times we do not understand. You are a pastor. You are an elder. You are a presbyteress. You are a youth leader. But you are filled with unbelief. And it is only testing, trials, difficulties, challenges that can expose where your faith is. The quantity of faith you have and the quality of faith you have. You came to this retreat and our theme was, "Give me this mountain." From this retreat, some of the mountains you have never been able to climb, you will climb them from this place. We studied how to build unshakable faith on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How to have unshakable, immovable, impregnable, irresistible, limitless, timeless faith in the Bible. And how to have unshakable faith in the Holy Spirit. Because God trusts the Holy Spirit. Jesus trusts the Holy Spirit. The early church trusted the Holy Spirit. You have no business doubting him. And then we worked after that on promises of God. 8,000 promises, still counting, free, signed by the blood of Jesus, stamped by the resurrection of Jesus. And all the promises are yes and amen in Jesus, given to you free of charge. That by these exceeding great and precious promises, you will have an anchor for your soul forever. And you can clean your life and become partaker of the divine nature of God. Then we looked at prayer. These promises are accessed by prayer. If the promises are there and you don't pray, you won't enjoy any of the promises. The prayer of faith releases these promises for your personal life. And this morning, to send you away, I have talked about a trial of faith. When God told Abraham that your children will be like the stars of heaven, Genesis 15:6 says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted for him as righteousness. It took 25 years from the time God called Abraham out before Isaac was born. That's faith for you. When God told Joseph that he was going to make him head in Genesis 37, he was 17 years old. He was 30 years before he was brought out of prison. And the years of plenty were 7 years. So he was 37. 17 to 37 is how many years? How many years? 20 years. Then the famine started. The second year of the famine, before the vision he had of his brothers falling down before him came to pass. 22 years. Look at David. He was anointed at around age 17. He was 30 before he became king of Judah. And it took another 7.5 years before he became king of the whole Israel. So it took 20 years for the anointing to work. Many of us did not understand that way. When God met 8 of us, myself, my wife, and Sister Joyce is in the house. Yes, where are you? Please, let them see you. We were in the university when God met us and said he was calling us. He was giving us work for world evangelism. We even wanted to stop the university. He gave me the name Moses and gave another guy, Joshua. And then we said, God, it's 42 years now. Each day we say, oh God, when? Because the things he told us, we were so sure. We had all kinds of revelations, prophecies, all types of things on campus. It's 42 years now. Still counting. But each day, he gives me assurance that his promise cannot fail. Throughout those years, I've gone through the fire. I've gone through water. People have walked on my back. There have been countless times I'll just weep. But day after day, God is raising the army. He said he is raising. You are here because you belong to a giant program of what is on God's heart. It has taken 42 years to melt into what you see today. When I'm preaching, I'm not just preaching as a young convert. These are things which over the years, God tells you, you pray, you fast, you read your Bible, you say, oh God, when? Says my son, wait. It's coming. Then I began to understand the Bible times. I believe that God called you. I believe that God brought you to this retreat. I believe that God wants to build men and women of faith who can take countries for God. I believe that there are some of you here who can hold Africa as a continent in your hands. I believe in my heart that there are some of you here, whole secondary schools, whole churches who come and say, let disciple us. I know that Satan cannot win this battle. Islam will not win this battle. No juju man is going to win this battle. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. As we rise up, I want you to see beyond yourself. I want you to look at mountains, look at hills, look at areas which everybody has given up. Look at the giants of the political system, the giants of our chieftaincy system, the giants of African culture. Look at the giants of our universities, the giants of our senior secondary schools and junior high schools. Look at the giants of the children who are being led astray. God is raising up amongst us some men and women who can take prisons ministry and Ghana's prisons will change. Who can take the health services and Ghana's health services will change. There are people among us, God has, is raising up an army that can say the countries, I'm going to tackle you. Who can take the Francophone countries and break the myth surrounding them. I am saying that there are people among us right now who can handle the voodoo of Benin and humble them. People from here who can go to Indonesia, to Afghanistan, they can go to India and change the place. People from here who are able to move to Egypt and change the place. Europe is not too difficult. We can have an army from this place run over Europe and leave behind them a revival. I am saying, don't think small. Your God is great. Therefore, come to him with a faith which is great so that he can be happy with you. Shall we begin to pray? Begin to talk to the Lord. Ngerianda la bataba shega kianda ngerianda la baka shega kianda habeka kia.
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube and invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.